Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition for the last 30 years.
It's Rosie on the House.
You want to come use this microphone? Test 1, 2. Vector.
Test 1, 2.
So
this,
wow.
This is how you can fire in the radio.
Let me turn the music down. Then we can maybe hear you.
I've got everything.
Good morning, everybody.
Just go jump in the other one.
I've got it. It wasn't plugged in back here. Somebody was messing with my microphone. I thought, you know what? Manager's been in here. They disconnected me.
It proves once again, folks, this is live radio, okay?
And I wanted to start the day. I wanted it to be the perfect broadcast. I wanted to start the day with the most encouraging, uplifting news I could possibly deliver any and every one of you in the great state of Arizona. Today will be 7 minutes and 16 seconds shorter than June 21st. Winter is coming. Wow.
And can you tell it's getting just a smidge darker in the evening?
Well, just by about a minute and a half.
Yeah.
So it's coming. Y'all have to bear with the weather here. It's what we do here in Arizona. You just cowboy up. And I'll tell you, if I could change one thing about summer in Arizona right now, for the first summer in my life in Arizona, the very first summer ever, I have a car with black seats. And I want to tell you, that is the dumbest thing you could ever put in a car. And the vehicle I have, you could only get black seats. Now, I'd like to take that Detroit engineer and rub his nose in that seat right about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, parked in the middle of the largest parking lot I could find, and say, "Listen, numbskull, take this seat burn on your face back to Detroit and give us some seats other than black."
Does it have air conditioning in the seats?
Yes.
You know, like a little air that comes.
Yes, it does.
Back. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, you got that going for you.
Yeah, when you're in the car about 40 minutes, it's finally cool enough you can feel it. But not ever having black interior. You know, you're doing some work at the house and the car's parked in the front driveway and you got to run to Ace Hardware store. So you're in your little, you know, your work shorts. You're not in long pants and stuff. Oh.
Leg burn.
I've done it about 3 times. I know I've left skin on the seats. It's just, wow. So I gotta find a way to outsmart that whole situation. But we are today 7 minutes and 16 seconds shorter than we were on June 22nd. Hallelujah, baby. So thank you for joining us this morning. I'm here as always this morning, your Saturday morning tradition with my son and co-host, Romy Romero, my wife, sweet Jennifer. Morning, babe.
Good morning.
And we've got a return special guest, always the hit of the show, Dr. David Dean, Assistant Professor of History at Grand Canyon University. We love bringing him in, especially around election times and holidays. Dr. Dean, thanks for coming in.
Good morning. It's good to be here again.
All right. So we're going to talk some Arizona festivities revolving around Independence Day. What's on your agenda today?
Oh, I thought we would talk a little bit about Arizona history, kind of do a smattering of things. We're coming off a great 4th of July. I don't know if you guys saw some fireworks or had a picnic or all those traditional ways that we celebrate 4th of July. But I thought we'd take a little different take and talk about how Arizonans have celebrated 4th of July.
You know, we didn't. The place we have gone for the last 40 years did not have fireworks this year. So I took the time just to kind of read about the miracle of this country. I can't get into the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence or the Bill of Rights without a tremendous amount of awe. Those are incredible documents.
They're incredible documents. Men of trying times who saw something to the future and said, we're going to do something that's never been done before, this great democratic experiment, and it seems to be working.
Gosh, you come out of the feudal system of Europe and you decide no government can ever keep an opportunity away from me.
Right.
And create an environment that's available across all society.
Everyone has the right to life, liberty, and that pursuit of happiness. What makes you happy?
Man, living here.
That's right.
Living here. Especially after Jennifer and I's little month-long tour of Europe. Nice place to visit.
Amazing.
The Caucasus Mountains, I think, were about probably my favorite. Those were pretty awesome. But to live, give me the red, white, and blue.
That's right. You're reminded, as you travel across Europe, you're reminded of monarchies and power and how Joe Average guys like you and I never had it. And here we have a whole nation based on that.
Oh, man. All right. So where do we go from there? So we didn't see fireworks. We just had a meditative amount of time just being thankful for the great country we live in.
That's good. We had ribs, so. But, you know.
I think we actually had leftovers. That night,
we did.
We?
It was the first time we've ever spent 4th of July alone. Like, what do? We'll just read and have leftovers.
That was my dad's birthday, so it was always a huge Romero party.
Most people celebrate with the traditional picnic or fireworks or some combination of maybe a parade, go wave the flag. Our celebrations of the Independence Day are largely based on events and things on the East Coast. So I got to thinking this past week, well, we live out in the West. We didn't have those same experiences. Our, so to speak, colonial experiences involve the Spanish and involve others. And so how does the West, how does out here make our experiences more unique, more different? And it got me thinking of a little bit about a kind of a question. And I ask you, do you think that the West is just a place or is it a process?
I think it could be a mindset.
It's a mindset. Okay. When I say process, one historian a long time ago wrote about that the West was a place where we got to and we had to adapt to it. And then it adapts back to us. You know, think about the first explorers or mountain men that come out, they change their clothes from their Eastern European kind of clothes to the buckskins and whatnot, and they build a log cabin. So they change the environment, and the environment changes them. That's a process. And what makes us uniquely Americans is that the West has that process, and those processes become democratic as we work together, where settlers come out and all that kind of stuff. So if I think about that the West is not just a place, it's arid and dry and it's got different kinds of things, but it's also a place of a process, then it gives me a chance to think about our celebrations of our Independence Day much differently. And so I thought today we would talk about a couple of examples that are different.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to show up at the Mountain Man Fur Festival in Wyoming with polished patent leather shoes, wearing little knicker tights and your pilgrim hat.
Well, Teddy Roosevelt did, I think, the first time he came out because he bought his Western outfit from a Sears and Roebuck catalog. So he was a dude, you know, when he came out. But the West changed him, one of our greatest presidents. And he talks about how he came out to the West and it really built his body up, but it also built his mind up. And not only did he go back East and serve greatly as our president, but he also spent a great amount of effort preserving the West, preserving those great places of majestic wilderness that makes our country great.
Of all the places to establish your ranch, I think the Badlands is kind of a peculiar place to pick. And then name it the Maltese Ranch?
Yeah. I would have probably gone somewhere else.
I mean, that's intriguing country. But, I mean, he had been to the Grand Tetons. Why wouldn't you just homestead the base of the Grand Tetons.
Exactly. Or, there's lots of beautiful places in Montana and Wyoming. Oh. And, you know, yeah, nothing against other areas of our country. But I just came back from Colorado and going through the Rockies. Oh. And it's like, wow, you know.
It is a wow event. A wow event. All right. So what are some of the things about the West that you feel are the different process than the East Coast? I mean, I feel different just even – I have to hit Washington, D.C. about 4 or 5 times a year. I feel different every time I land there.
Like you need a shower?
I don't know.
Like leaving there, you have to go through some sort of desalinization, something to get de-louse or something.
Well, I've definitely inherited a much more casual view of life than the people I visit when I go there.
Sure. Well, I think one of the things that's most unique about the West is the blending of cultures. It's a place where many peoples have had to come together. We've had Native peoples here. We've had Spanish here. We've got Americans here. We've got all these different influences. And so yet they're all Americans and are all celebrating the same holiday. And so two great examples that we have here in Arizona that go back to big traditions throughout our country are the rodeo and the powwow. And so Arizona is the home of several really great events of those things, but the two most famous are the Flagstaff Powwow that went from 1929 to 1979. They still do some activities up there related to that. And then the great, of course, the oldest rodeo in the world in Prescott that runs. And both those run in conjunction with July 4th.
Absolutely. Yeah, I understand it was a pretty good parade. Did you hear from Donnie Romy about he was up in Prescott all July 4th? It was a pretty good rodeo. I guess they only had 2 bull riders the entire rodeo ride out.
You mean only 2 covered their 8 seconds?
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
2 contestants.
Right. Yeah. So it must have been some rough stock this year. All right. We're here with Dr. David Dean, assistant professor of history from Grand Canyon University, talking about the traditional celebrations of Independence Day across Arizona. We'll get back. Maybe he can tell us a little bit about what's an anvil launch.